Well, it is a good morning, isn't it? It's a good morning for us to be here. We get to worship with one another today. We get to remember our Lord's death and the sacrifices that He gave for us. We get to have visitors among us this morning and have them able to join in worship with us. We get to see those that we don't expect to see. We weren't expecting to see. It was a surprise to see Sharon scooting on in here this morning and some others that have come our way today. We're so glad that you're here. And we want to let you know that if you're visiting with us, we're so happy that you've chosen to be with us today also, and we invite you to come back. Our God, as David stated very early in what he was talking about before the Lord's Supper, created man, and we were in a state without sin. And he sent his Son into this world to die for our sins. And in the process of Jesus Christ living here in this world, he promised to build his church. And that church, the ecclesia, is the called out. That called out involves people like you and me who have been obedient to that gospel. We've been called out of the world. But we're called together also. We assemble together for a purpose of worship, the recognition and honoring and revering the sacrifice that was given to us in our stead, to praise and honor and glorify God in all that we do. But we're also here to strengthen one another. This is the first Sunday of the month, and as has been our case for each month, excuse me while I disappear for a second. Knock my Bible off onto the floor. I might need it as we go along in the lesson here. We come together for a purpose. One of the purposes, other than our honoring God, is we are here together for one another, to strengthen one another. There's really only one more lesson in this series that will be completed on the first Sunday of next month, but I've actually thought about adding a 13th lesson toward the middle of the month. We'll see how that goes. I'm not 100% sure that I'm going to do that yet. But every time we've talked on the first Sunday morning of each month, we talked about our influence and how we influence. Last month, we talked about our influence in the local church. I did not concentrate on the idea of edifying, strengthening one another as I wanted to do today. That was part of the lesson, but the entire lesson is going to be devoted to this idea of strengthening one another. And generally, when we think about strength, we think about what you see up there on the screen. You think about men lifting weights and making their bodies stronger. But we're talking about strengthening the inner man. And one of the things about working out that I found out through the years, and because other people have told me, is that if you have a workout buddy, your workouts are more effective. As children of God, through the strengthening of our souls and the strengthening of our faith and unity even together, we are stronger when we are working together than we are when we're trying to do things on our own. You can strengthen your soul without the help of others, but you really need one another. And that's important to us. Because let me ask you this question. Can one person make a difference in your life? Can one person change your attitude? Can one person maybe cause you to be more faithful? And I want to say yes. One person can change a lot in your life. I want to give you one example real quick. Battle of Bull Run. Army is retreating. And there stands over there Stonewall Jackson. And someone hollers out, "There stands Jackson like a stone wall." What happened that day? Because one man stood firm, the army that was retreating stopped, and they fought. One person in your life can keep you from retreating to the world. One person in your life can keep you or help you be stronger in the faith, become more bold in the proclamation of God's Word. Consider for just a moment before I go any further, Peter and John cast into prison in Acts chapters 4 and Acts chapter 5. When they came out of prison, they were speaking more boldly those things that they had proclaimed, but it emboldened the other Christians in the area as well. People make a difference in our lives. They strengthen us. They encourage us. So when we're talking about this morning, be mindful of what you can do to help someone else who is a child of God become stronger in their faith. Maybe help them encourage someone else along the way. Isaiah chapter 41, verses 6 and 7 reads this way. Everyone helped his neighbor. Implying that in Israel these things were taking place, and said to his brother, be of good courage. In Isaiah chapter 41, God is going to try to encourage Israel and let them reinforce that, let them know that they are his people. But in this statement there, it says, so the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith, he who smooths with the hammer inspired him who strikes the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. Then he fastened it with the pegs that it might not totter. Do you see what was taking place? Just in those that brief little statement there. Each person was doing their job, but each one was also encouraging the other to do their job. There was encouragement going on. When we look at Ephesians chapter 5, or chapter 4, and we're going to look at that here in just a minute, remember what it says. Because really, if you think about it, it's not enough for us just to baptize people. You know, Brother Clayton Parsley has come up here on Wednesday nights a couple of times and made some statements similar to this. You know, sometimes we think it is enough to just baptize an individual, bring them up out of the water, and then they're fine by themselves. But it's not enough. We need to do something with new Christians, the new creature in Christ, to encourage them, to strengthen them. To simply save the soul, or to baptize that soul, is not sufficient. We must also continue to strengthen those who are saved. We find in Acts chapter 14 and verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. This is talking about Paul and Barnabas. In Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch are cities in that first missionary journey that they had previously gone to. What did they do? They went back to those cities. What for what purpose? Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. You're here this morning with those who are worshiping of like precious faith. Those who, whether we realize it or not, whether we say it or not, we're here for a purpose to encourage one another, to strengthen the souls of one another, to do what? Continue in the faith. You have influence, whether you realize it or not. Our influence is sometimes spoken. When people hear the encouraging words that we can say to them to maybe help them pick themselves up when they've fallen, to help strengthen someone, give them a pat on the back every now and then. But our purpose is to help one another strengthen each other's faith to the point that we can stand on our own if need be. And how do we do that? Well, you look at, understand this part right here. The work of the church did not only include evangelism, the spreading of the gospel. It was not only for the purpose of taking care of those who were in need, among brethren especially, but it was for the building up of one another. It was for edification. And that brings us to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Because right there at the last part of verse 16, the part that I have underlined on the screen there, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Everything that we do here should be for that purpose also, so that we are strengthening one another for the edifying of itself in love, strengthening the body. So you have influence in the church. You have influence among your brethren. Sometimes it's small, sometimes it's great. Sometimes you don't think it's noticed, but everybody's watching. Everybody should be encouraged by your presence. I asked you in a lesson here last month, and I believe it was the lesson on your influence in the church. Do people miss you when you're gone? Do you feel missed when you're absent? You should. That's part of edifying. It's part of us knowing who everybody is and where everybody is, not simply to be in everybody's business, but to understand that we need strong Christians. And we need each other sometimes to do that. Consider that for just a moment. We need strong Christians. God needs strong Christians. He needs those individuals that are able to be there to influence and strengthen others. We need strong churches. And you cannot have, quote, strong churches with weak Christians. For lack of a better way, we need a buddy system when it comes to being children of God. We need people to work with us. We need people to encourage us. We need people to strengthen us. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 11, Paul talks about being strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. What it means is we need one another. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, I'm going to go back up a point right there. The idea of strong churches needing strong members. The churches in Judea and Samaria had peace and were edified. They had peace. That means, and they were strengthened. And they were able to do that with one another. Now, I said God needs strong Christians. Therefore, there's a need for each of us to use our influence to strengthen others. It is a need to where we can't say, "I don't need to do anything," or "I can just sit back and somebody else will do the work." Ephesians chapter 4 talks about each part doing its part. And so we keep that in mind. Because really, God does desire us to be strong. Romans chapter 4 and verse 20 indicates, using Abraham as an example in chapter 4 there of faith, we need to be strong in faith like Abraham was strong in faith. We need to be strong in the Spirit. You look at the passage there in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, think about all of those things that are being stated there, speaking of Jesus in Luke chapter 2 and verse 40. There's our example of spiritual strength right there. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace of the Lord. Remember what He has done for you. Remember what God has provided for you through His Son. That should be uplifting. That should be strengthening in and of itself. But if God needs strong Christians, here comes that buddy system that I was talking about. We need to strengthen one another. We are of one another. The church is the body of Christ. That is seen in Ephesians chapter 1. It's the fullness of Him that fills all in all. He is the head of the church. We understand that very thing. But when we think about Jesus Christ having the preeminence in all things, His church was perfect the way He planned it. His church did not need any changes in it, but it was required. One requirement for it was that people would be part of it. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18 with me. There it says, "And He is the head of the church," or head of the body, the church, "who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your own mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight, if indeed you continue in the faith. And here's the thing. Here's where our strength is going to be coming from. If you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to you, every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. And then verse 24 says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is His church. And he became a minister of those things he talks about in the next verse. Why are we here? Are we here just to fill a pew? No, we're not. Are we here to be part of this body that Jesus Christ has prepared for us? Absolutely, we are. But we need to understand that He did this, and in order for us to maintain it, we must continue in what He has left behind, His gospel. We continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. And understand that we're not in this alone, because we are members of one another. Romans chapter 12 and verse 4 points that out to us. I want you to think for just a moment. I said we need one another. We need a buddy system. Think for just a moment. Jesus sent His disciples out while He was here on earth. How did He send them out? Two by two. Why? Well, the only thing I can ever imagine is that two work together better than one. Two are stronger than one. And it may have been because of all the evil circumstances of the day. For personal safety, it would have been better for two people to travel together than to travel alone. But I also think for spiritual safety, it was necessary. Because we know that the disciples before Jesus Christ died were not as strong as they would be afterward. We need one another. That's the key to being successful, is understanding that my wife makes me a stronger Christian than I would be by myself. Craig makes me a stronger Christian than I would be by myself. Everyone in here, from the strongest, the most mature in faith, to those who are babes in Christ, you will not be stronger without one another. Because you are of one another. And we have a mutual responsibility then toward each other in strengthening one another and encouraging one another. Luke chapter 22 and verse 32. What you see there is, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Jesus said that to Peter before Peter betrayed Him. But when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. It's important then that we do that very thing. Strengthen one another. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24 says to consider one another, to provoke one another, to encourage one another, to love and good works. And I want you to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Now I'm going to stop right there at verse 11 for just a minute. I believe I can say the same thing that Paul is saying to the church at Thessalonica about the brethren right here. Just as you are doing. But why would you need to be encouraged? Continually encouraged to do that? Is there ever a chance that we might take those types of things for granted? Is there ever a chance that we might just think about it? Well, so they'll always be there. And yet there might come a day where you might not be there for someone that needs you. Consider this, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. In other words, continue it. You know, there was another thing that Paul would say to the church at Thessalonica and other Christians elsewhere about them abounding in their love toward one another. He wanted them to abound more and more in that love toward one another. And think about our strengthening one another, our ability to encourage one another. We need to abound more and more in that also, because that reveals our love for one another. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Well, who would be over us? That would be our elders. That would be our shepherds. To esteem them. To honor them for the task that they have as our shepherds. Be at peace among yourselves. And what I want to suggest here too, the comforting one another, the edifying one another, strengthening one another, helps us maintain peace. Something that we should be pursuing. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. What we're doing is we're constantly looking out for one another. We're looking for those who might be weak in the faith so that we can help build them up. Those who he talks about here as being unruly are those who have fallen out of the rank. It's a military description right there, falling out of ranks. What we're trying to do is we're trying to encourage them to not necessarily just simply fall back in line with the status quo, but fall back in line with God. We're trying to encourage them to do those things that will strengthen their faith. And when you do that, you think about who truly needs it. The babe in Christ. That new creature in Christ, that one that should be longing for the pure milk of the Word, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, encouraging them to maintain that sustenance that will feed their soul. Telling them and encouraging them to keep reading, keep hungering and thirsting for that righteousness. The spiritually immature. You know, the Hebrew writer talks about those who by reason of time should have become teachers. He's saying there are those that by reason, think about that, by reason of time. He doesn't give me the writer there doesn't tell me exactly how long this should take. But he says there is a process of maturity that should be taking place with every child of God. You should be moving from babes that need to be fed to someone who's able to feed others. There has to come that point in time in our lives where we're able to do that. And you consider this, that requires some encouragement. David, when he got up here this morning to do the talk before the Lord's Supper, complimented the young men in their service here. That's the type of encouragement they need to hear all the time. Whether they're leading singing, whether they're leading prayers, whether they're giving short talks on Wednesday night, or whether they might be filling in on a fifth Sunday of the month and preaching on a Sunday evening or whatever. The young ones need that encouragement, but also those who have not quite matured enough to be teachers, encourage them also. Keep others in mind, those who are weak and feeble. Now I want you to consider that for just a second. Those who are weak and feeble. Hebrews chapter 12. Turn there with me. I've got Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Now I get an idea sometimes right there that you think about that. You're talking about somebody that's getting old and can't, you know, having trouble standing. But we're talking about a spiritual matter. We're talking about those who are weak spiritually. And those who that are weak spiritually strengthen their hands and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Rather be strengthened. And what that requires is sometimes what James is talking about, we're trying to pull somebody out of the fire. There's the weak person that has stumbled and strayed from the Lord. We're trying to maintain unity and peace, but we're also trying to help one another become stronger. Deliver those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. We're throwing out a lifeline. We're stepping in front of somebody that's coming on, you know, rushing out into oncoming traffic. We're trying to prevent the soul from being destroyed. We're trying to strengthen one another. When you consider that, to edify and strengthen one another, Romans chapter 14, verse 19, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace. What happened back in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31 is that the churches there were strengthened and they were at peace. We pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. So we must love our brethren. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1 expresses that to us. Speak words of encouragement to each other. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. He's not saying that you sugarcoat anything, but you use words that are beneficial to the listener. You know, sometimes it's real easy. And it's real easy when I'm driving down the road, especially when the other person can't hear me, tell them how they should be driving. And I may not always be kind when I get a little irritated. You can ask Cindy. She's heard me talk to other people before. I've heard Craig say on a Wednesday night when he was teaching Bible class, uses as an illustration, I know I can help that person, you know, while they're driving. I can surely show them how to drive better. Brethren, sometimes the words we use cut straight to the marrow and it hurts. And what Paul is trying to get us to understand there is not to use the hurtful words, but the words that can strengthen one another. And we think about corrupt speech, and there's all kinds of things that can be interpreted right there. As we think about cursing and things like that. But sometimes corrupt speech is just something that hurts another individual because it doesn't edify. You speak the things that are necessary for edification. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Use your words to teach one another. We have Bible classes for that purpose. We can go to one another's homes and talk about those types of things. But the Apostle Paul, you know, what takes place in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, it says, I commend you to God and the word of His grace. What's taking place there in Acts chapter 20 is Paul is saying goodbye to the elders at Ephesus. And he says, I commend you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Kind of mentioned in the Bible class this morning, one of the things that I was thinking about, why people are not closer to God. Maybe we're spending too much time in the world and not enough time in the Word. And Paul commended them to the Word of His grace. And maybe that's what we need to be doing more often also. Teaching one another about the Word of God's grace. Be mindful of this, that when we edify and strengthen one another, we encourage faithfulness and strengthen the Lord. We encourage that to do that very thing. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. About Paul saying those things in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. Sometimes he felt alone in this world. Sometimes he felt, you know, he was definitely mistreated. But one thing he always could find strength in was knowing that the Lord was with him. And to encourage one another to understand that very thing and have that very type of thought in our mind. Psalm 84 and verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Psalm 138 and verse 3. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Encourage faithfulness and strength. Strengthen the Lord. Encourage more prayer. And I think Psalm 138 encourages that very thing. But as we're getting ready to close this morning, I want to give you an example. I think the best example of an encourager, of one who strengthens and edifies, that I can see in the New Testament And it's his name kind of implies that very thing. And I see some of you already know who I'm talking about. Barnabas. We strengthen and encourage one another. We're going to think about that. But again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ, but we do all things, beloved, for your edification. I want to suggest Barnabas did a lot of things because he loved his brethren. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, all things are lawful for me. Paul's stating this, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. I see in Barnabas, not only in Paul, a man who did that also. And so Barnabas, just by his name, when you look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 38, in that parenthesis there, it says, translated, son of encouragement. One who was willing to stand up for others. One who would encourage others. You think about this man. Every brother and sister in Christ, if there was one thing that your brethren could say about you that stood out about you, would it not be called a Barnabas in the church? I really don't know that there could be a higher compliment given to somebody to know that this is the type of person that people will look to, the type of person that people will search out, the type of person that when you ask for something will always be there, the type of person that when you hear him and hear of him, he's ready and willing to help. But not everybody's like Barnabas. You have some brethren that might be called brother or sister critic. You might have them called brother or sister complainer or brother or sister fault finder or brother and sister pessimist. But you know what? I don't see that in Barnabas at all. And even though Barnabas and Paul had their disagreement, it didn't keep Barnabas from going out afterward. It just meant he and Paul would go do the same work. They would just do it without each other. There in Acts chapter 15. But here's Barnabas. Barnabas was the type of example that you want. He's an example of liberal giving. He's a man that cared for his brethren enough that he would sell his property to help them out, help out those who were in need. He was the type of example in leadership that when no one really trusted Paul or Saul and wanted him around, he was the one that would stand up for Saul, speak on his behalf. He would be the one that would take him to the apostles in Jerusalem. Barnabas was the type of individual that found the good in everybody, and not just found the good, but exploited the good that they had to make them better. Because of Paul, or because of who Paul was, Barnabas still was willing to stand behind him because of who he was going to become. Barnabas stood with his nephew, John Mark, even though when they first traveled with him, he wasn't ready. When he and Paul had that little disagreement in Acts chapter 15, John Mark was ready then. He saw the potential in John Mark. We need to start looking for the potential good in one another. Fault finding is real easy. But finding what we can encourage others to do sometimes takes a little more effort. He was one of those individuals that had a love for lost souls. He and Paul would travel together in Acts chapter 13 on that first missionary journey, and they would preach the gospel. People would be converted, and they would go back through in Acts chapter 14 then strengthening those that they had already visited. There's that confidence in John Mark that I mentioned. But he was one who was willing to encourage new converts. And I want you to look at Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. I say he was willing to encourage those who were new converts. I know he did that with Saul before he became Paul. But in Acts chapter 11, beginning at verse 22. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And you think about this now. This is after Cornelius had been converted. Peter has been called on the carpet, and there's a sermon title right there, Called on the Carpet, and I'm probably going to use that in Acts chapter 11. But you think about the news of the things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch, and when he had come and seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should do what? Continue with the Lord. True edification, true strengthening of one another is making sure that we continue with the Lord, continue in the Lord in everything that we say and everything that we do. It wasn't that hard a job for Barnabas. He's probably one of the best encouragers, best examples of encouragement for influence that we can have within the Scripture. And he's one that we should try to emulate in our lives. We can encourage one another every day. This last slide says, because of your strong faith, I kept the track. Whose sharp set tones my strength had well spent. I could not meet your eyes if I had turned back. So on I went. Because you would not yield belief in me, the threatening crags that rose my way to bar, I conquered inch by crumbling inch to see the goal afar because of you. Now, I want you to think about those words for just a minute. We can think about who is the most powerful influence in our lives today. Why are we children of God today? Why am I still faithful today? Well, hopefully you're still faithful today in your own lives because you've made your faith your own. But somewhere, someone, you had to lean on them. One of my wife's favorite songs, Lean on Me. Well, we have a Savior that we can lean on, but we also have brethren that we can lean on when we need strength. We need to be there for one another. Because there's going to come a time someone's going to fall. And they need to know that when they reach up with their hand, there's going to be someone there to help them up. Someone there to comfort them. Someone there to encourage them. Someone there that can help get them back on that straight and narrow road that leads to eternal life. Use your influence to edify. Use your influence to strengthen. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. We want you to be obedient to the Word of God. We want to encourage you to become that new creature in Christ. Jesus Christ said several things in the New Testament that were necessary that indicated how you can do that. One, we had to have faith. We had to believe in Him or we would perish. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we know that you have to hear the gospel preached so that you understand what that faith is and so that you can have that faith in Christ. But He also said that repentance was necessary or you would perish. He also said that confessing His name was necessary or He would not confess you before men. And He also commanded men to be baptized. And the apostles taught those same things. When you go to the book of Acts, you will see every one of those things mentioned in the teaching of those who were converted throughout the book of Acts. Maybe not every single one of them in each account, but all of those things those men taught. It brought salvation to those of the first century. It brings salvation to those of the 21st century. The blood of Jesus Christ is the same, was the same for them as it is for us. And His blood can cleanse your sins today if you will allow Him. You ready for baptism for the remission of your sins? We stand ready to assist you. If you have hands that are hanging down and knees that are feeble, we also want to strengthen you. If you have a spiritual need as an erring child of God, we stand ready to assist you with prayer, encouragement. Won't you come? As together we stand and as we sing.